Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. And I am joined today by my friendo, Nicholas Ian Allen. He is the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. You can check out all of his work on the Twitter, at CFB Winning Edge. Or you can check out the Patreon, patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge. Nick, how's it going, man?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. I, for the first time in a while, spent pretty much the whole day on CFF stuff, so I'm ready to go.
And that's what we're here to talk about today, is college fantasy football. And look, I know not everyone plays college fantasy football here, and there are some people that are going to roll their eyes right now, but I got to tell you, you know, when there's no sports for, you know, what is this, 14 days, it's been 2 weeks at this point, no sports, you know, I was talking about, you know, Nick and I do a podcast with our friend Xavier, and you can find him on Twitter at Xavier underscore Trish, T-R-I-C-H-E, and where we talk about college football every single week. Obviously, Nick, I'll let you talk about CFB Winning Edge, the website, in just a second here, but, I mean, we were talking about the marble races and stuff last week on the show. So, you know, we're itching for something, and I think with sports going down, it's going to give a new respect to sports and to fantasy and like all of our little daily distractions that people need. So I think that we're going to see a spike in college fantasy football intake this year. And that's what we're here to talk about today. Now, before we get into that, I know you said you've been working on college fantasy football recently, but that is not the crux of CFB Winning Edge. So why don't you go ahead and give all the listeners an explanation of what it is that you do at CFB Winning Edge and what we can expect for the upcoming 2020 season.
Sure, absolutely. So this is entering our third year at CFB Winning Edge, and it's grown and grown sort of leaps and bounds each time. But basically, I sat down one day and figured that there's a lot of college football analytics things out there, more so now than there used to be, but very few of them go from the player as a starting point. A lot of them are, you know, drive data, play-by-play data, things like that. And so you'll hear some of the, you know, some of the really well-respected guys who do a great job, guys like Bill Connolly, you know, every week when he puts out his rankings and their injuries or player moves or transfers, he'll always have to say like, oh, well, you know, my numbers don't really reflect those things. Well, I figured, you know, maybe there's something I could do that might give just sort of a different perspective, maybe, you know, hopefully a slightly better even way of, you know, projecting and predicting team performance, who's going to win and by how much, and by taking a player first model, basically. So what I've done is compiled all the rosters for all 130 teams, input all sorts of statistical information, including, you know, their recruiting ratings, how many games they've played in a career, games started. I've come up with my own what I call production points, where if players hit certain statistical benchmarks over the course of a game or a season, they get points added to their overall rating, and basically wanted to build a rating similar to what you would find in a sports video game, the old NCAA or Madden or FIFA, that same sort of thing. It's built to be sort of on that scale, and I've just sort of, you know, I've taken it from the player as a baseline, do unit ratings, do head coach ratings, team performance, all sorts of stuff. And I think it's a pretty good way of looking at college football. If you're, you know, a nerd about this sort of thing, really want to dig in deep on, you know, player by player for all 130 teams, I think we've got a pretty good setup for you to do that.
And my favorite part about it is kind of the inspiration from this was the NCAA video game, right? I mean, the VGR, the video game rating, is the name of your system. I love that.
Yeah, it made sense to me. And, you know, perhaps it was a particular day I was missing the game and just, you know, figured, hey, it's been a few years. Maybe I'll try to figure out my own sort of ratings or what have you. So it that certainly was an inspiration, and you know, I think if somebody out there wanted to take our FBS team profiles, which is really the big thing that we do, our tier two patrons get access to that via Google Sheets. I feel like if somebody were to take those and you know, you could input those into the video game, update all the rosters, it'd be a pretty good starting point for, you know, people who are into that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And now, last year you were really introduced to college fantasy football, and I know not everyone here knows Nick, but Nick is a go hard or go home kind of a person. So I know I'm partly to blame for you catching this CFF
bug. Oh, fully
to blame. yeah, I think when we started doing stuff, because we met through our mutual friend Dan Bespris, which, by the way, Dan Bespris just had a son, so congrats to him. You can follow him on the Twitter. He's a big basketball guy, at Dan Bespris, so congrats to him and his family. So I texted him, he's like, yeah, they won't let me stay in the hospital after 7 a.m., so I have to leave and go home and then go back. So it's a whole thing right now, but you know, congrats to him. And we met through him, and we started talking about this stuff, and potentially, basically, you wanted to make a podcast. And so we started doing it. And then when we were talking off mic, I started talking about, have you ever played college fantasy? And you're like, I haven't played fantasy in a while, because like you like the NFL, but you're not going to wake up early in the morning if you're sleeping in to watch the games. You're not going to set aside time to watch the NFL as much. You're more of a full college football person. And, you know, there's not a lot of college fantasy sites out there. Yahoo just picked it up, but they're doing Power 5 only. I know CBS does it, but they charge. But Fantrax has had it for a while. And so you got heavy into CFF this year, and you were involved in John Lobb's, what he likes to call the first down, the initial fantasy college fantasy football rankings. And it was yourself, it was Mike Bainbridge, at M Bainbridge, BANBRIDGE, CFF. On the Twitter for him. Zach Hall, our buddy, is at CFF Champs. And of course, most of you guys that are still listening know that I do a CFF show with Justin Heisey and John Lobb, and you can follow those guys at Justin Heisey and at Gridirons Call 91. So your initial rankings here, I really like them, and I told you that off air, and I'm not BSing here. But before we get to the rankings, I want to know, what is it about college fantasy football that had you, you know, so hardcore within a matter of what seemed like a month? It was like, all right, I'll try this. And now it's, you know, you're making rankings and offering it to patrons. So what is it about CFF that you enjoyed so much?
Yeah, it's, I guess, just the the depth of it. And you mentioned I am just a, you know, go hard, go home, as you said, kind of guy. Anything I want to do, I have a tendency to really get myself absorbed in it. And CFF, for whatever reason, just caught my interest. And the fact that, you know, I had played some NFL in the past, I played MLB fantasy, you know, things like that. And it's fun, but the fact that at the college football level, you've got 130 teams and 85 players, you know, 100 plus players really per team. And I've always been the kind of guy to search for sort of hidden gems, the things that other people maybe are not going to pick up on or notice. I really like to sort of unearth those kind of players. And so CFF just offered that in abundance. And so I wanted to be in the deepest leagues possible, you know, dynasty leagues, all that sort of stuff. And just the ability to really dig in and, you know, find, you know, somebody that could really be a major contributor at Texas State or you know, Buffalo or whatever it is that maybe your everyday college football fan won't pay much attention, but just an opportunity to dig into those sort of things, get to know the sport a little bit better. I think it really did beef up my just day-to-day knowledge on, you know, individual players and you know, who's making a major impact, especially at the lower levels, the G5 conferences. So it just, for a variety of reasons, it just sort of bit me and I love it. I hope to be involved a lot more in CFF this year. Last year was great, and I think, you know, this year hopefully will be even better.
I'm looking forward to it, and I love that you're making rankings now, because you know, now I get to kind of sit on the other side and ask you, ask someone else about their rankings and why you had this guy here and why you had that guy there and all that kind of good stuff. Because I actually, usually I do this article for Law, but I just did not have time this season with baseball rapidly approaching, and I was doing a lot of NFL draft stuff, so I just wasn't able to participate in this. So I'm glad you are. So I got, I have some questions here for you, and I love, I love looking over these initial rankings too, but let's just start out at quarterbacks. And for those of you that don't know, most leagues, if it's you know, if it's shallower than like 20 people, because there's 130 teams to pick from here, you usually go with two QBs. Now, in this initial ranking, we have the top 12 for everyone, and Justin Fields. He's the consensus number one pick for all rankers in this article. Like I said, this is on Fantrax HQ. So if you guys want to check it out, go to FantraxHQ.com. Click on the NCAA football one. I think Heisey has another article out first, and then this is the second article on the list, so you can find it there. But we know that Fields is going to be high for sure. And of the returning quarterbacks, he was third in fantasy points per game, only behind Ellinger from Texas and Derek King, now of Miami. Do you expect to see him take that jump from 2019 to 2020? He was ninth in scoring overall and was about 10 points per game behind Jalen Hurts, who was the highest scorer from 2019. So do we expect to see not only him return what he was doing last season, but maybe make a jump as well?
I think there's certainly a chance that he makes a jump, and I don't know if this makes the most sense, but I feel almost like Justin Fields is a safe number one, where he's probably going to throw a little bit more this year because there's some uncertainty at Ohio State at the running back position. He does have the ability to run. Now, I'm a little bit worried because he did have a knee injury that slowed him down a little bit last year. And you know, chances are Ohio State's going to be blowing a lot of teams out. So there's a chance they won't actually call on him to run that much. So he won't, you know, get that full value potentially. But I just think that He looked great last year. He is going to be, I think, more accurate. That seemed to be the biggest room for improvement for him as a first-time starter. I think he's going to be a little bit more accurate this year. He's got tons of talent, just absolutely surrounded with talent. And, you know, they've got some really nice matchups early in the season. I first and foremost, again, I'm not sure if this is what everybody else thinks, you know, if this is a different way of doing it or what everybody's done. But I look sort of at that first four games first thing and think about, you know, matchups to really have some big, you know, some big games early. And he's going to play, you know, Bowling Green, Oregon, Buffalo, and Rutgers the first 4 weeks. Bowling Green, he's probably going to be out of the game by halftime, but he still might have, you know, 300 passing yards and 5 touchdowns, something like that. And I think there's certainly an opportunity for some huge numbers against Buffalo and Rutgers as well. So I just think everything combined, one, he's probably, you know, if not Fields, it's Trevor Lawrence. They're 1 and 2 for the best quarterback in the country coming back. Plus Fields has a little bit more running ability. Plus he's got some favorable matchups early. I just think that, you know, it's pretty easy to see that he's probably the best overall player, and he's got an opportunity to put up some big points, especially early in the season.
And for people that don't know a lot about college football players and their type of stats, last year, like I said, Justin Fields 9th overall in scoring as far as points per game for quarterbacks in CFF. And Justin Fields last year had 3,273 passing yards, 41 passing touchdowns, 484 rushing yards, and 10 scores on the ground. And Jalen Hurts, who was the leading guy per game, 38.74 points per game. There are only four guys that averaged over 30 points. And it was Hurts, Burrow, Gordon, who are all coming out, and Malcolm Perry, who needs to move positions, but he's was a senior as well. Those were the only guys over 30 points, and Jalen Hurts this year was 3,851 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, but 1,300 rushing yards and 20 scores. And these are, you know, sometimes CFF makes the NFL, or at least fantasy football, like watching paint dry a little bit. So lots of points being scored every single week. But the next quarterback question I have for you here is about KJ Costello, and you're the highest ranker on him. Obviously, last year was marred by injuries at Stanford, but now he's transferring to Mississippi State, and Mike Leach is coming in. He's on all the other lists as well, but I think no one else is willing to put him in the top five because this is going to be Leach's first year at Mississippi State. And I just have to ask you, do you not have much fear for the transfer and getting all the, you know, these parts moving in the right direction, especially with, you know, the potential for missed springs and practices and things like that?
It's a concern. I mean, it's a lot of moving parts, but the first thing that comes to mind, I've been really pretty encouraged with the way that, you know, at Washington State, Mike Leach, the last couple of years has really done a great job of getting a first-time starter ready to play and to put up big numbers. And, you know, Gardner Minshew arrived, I think, in the summer. I don't think he was in for spring in 2018 and took the college football world by storm. Anthony Gordon was on campus, was in the system for a couple of years as a JUCO transfer, but, you know, really hadn't seen the field at all. Comes in, you know, beats out another graduate transfer and again, just sort of sets the college football world on
fire
from a passing standpoint.
Last year, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I probably shouldn't have set you up for this question with so little time left. But Anthony Gordon last year, over 5,500 passing yards and 48 scores and averaged over 30 points a game. So, but we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish this KJ Costello question and get to more CFF.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill?
If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. That's 800-814-5188.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-230-8145. 800-230-8145. 800-230-8145. Again, that's 800-230-8145.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
We're back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Follow my friendo, Nick Allen, at CFB Winning Edge. Now, I set you up for a long-winded answer with only a minute left. That's my bad. But we were talking about, ranking quarterbacks, and KJ Costello, who is transferring into Mississippi State from Stanford last year. A lot of injuries. But my question was, Mike Leach going from Washington State to Mississippi State, a lot of the times there, there's issues in year one because you don't have the personnel set up to run a specific system like Mike Leach does, but you got to say that there's upside. But you're the highest ranker on Costello, and you're about to get to why. So pick up from there, please, if you could, Nick.
Absolutely, yeah. And I do have a tendency to be long-winded, so I certainly deserve some blame. But the big thing, Leach gets his quarterbacks ready to play pretty quickly. And in all honesty, KJ Costello, from a raw talent standpoint, is probably the most talented quarterback he's ever had an opportunity to work with. I mean, he's a guy that's an NFL prototype. He's got 25 career starts in the Pac-12. So, decent competition. He did have the injury last year, but he's a guy that coming into the 2019 season, Stanford head coach David Shaw basically, told the media, we don't expect to have KJ Costello in 2020 because he's going to be off to the NFL. And he had just come off a very, very productive 2018 season. I was pretty high on Costello, higher than most last year. Of course, it didn't work out because he spent so much time on the sidelines. But I think that, one, I would have to assume, as a Stanford graduate, pretty intelligent guy, going to be able to go in, pick up the system quickly. Mike Leach has a fairly simple system, really, all things considered. So I think that he's going to be able to go in, pick it up quickly. They're familiar with each other, having played in the same conference for a couple of years. So I feel that Costello is a perfect fit. He's going to be able to pick it up quickly, and Leach has been able to get guys ready to play quickly in the past. So I think it's just an absolute perfect fit as long as he stays healthy. I know probably the receivers are going to be the biggest issue, getting those guys working on, you know, option routes and crossing routes and all sorts of things. So as long as they can get that ironed out in the summer, in the fall, whenever they're able to get back on the practice field, I think that Costello is going to be just ready to go.
And I hope you're right, because Costello was obviously disappointing at Stanford last year. He definitely lost a little bit of his draft stock as well, being hurt so much. And I think it's going to be huge for him to watch him put up some big numbers at Mississippi State. And I think regardless of, you know, whether he works out for CFF or not, we're at least going to see him sling the ball a ton, which is what we're missing at Stanford. Now, this ranking, this is probably the one that I saw on your list that I was like, ooh, I don't know about this one. And you and Heisey are tied for the highest ranking on Derek King. I think, obviously, it's more risky than the Costello ranking, because I kind of feel a Khalil Tate type of a season for him. And I want to know what gives you confidence in him. And when I say for the people that didn't play last year, Khalil Tate, you know, two seasons ago was one of the top scorers in CFF. He was a ground guy and a passing guy for U of A. They brought in Kevin Sumlin. He didn't use him correctly. And, you know, Khalil Tate is going to have a hard time making an NFL team. He's probably, you know, we're looking at him being an XFL quarterback most likely next season. If he wants to stick at quarterback, he's athletic enough to pretty much play wherever he wants on the field. He can move to wide receiver, running back. He could play corner, safety, whatever he wanted if that was the case for him. Derek King, though, I think is a quarterback, but Miami runs more of a pro set, and we've seen them play musical chairs with all them damn quarterbacks for years and years, it seems like, Nick. So what is it about Derek King that gives you confidence to put him in your top 12?
Well, the first thing is my numbers are very, very high on Miami. And certainly, you know, Miami's had a ton of talent in the past and has underachieved. I get that. But we were actually about as low as any other analytics outfit that I saw, probably lower on Miami coming into last year than anybody. So I feel pretty good that our model sort of has a decent read on the Hurricanes, first and foremost. Secondly, Derek King was an absolute superstar at Houston in 2018. I mean, he scored 50 touchdowns in 11 games, and that just doesn't happen. Those are video game numbers. He's very experienced. He's started 26 games. He's put up huge production numbers throughout his career. He was athletic enough that, you know, as a freshman, Tom Herman, as his head coach, was just had to get him on the field, so he played a little wide receiver. So he's absolutely athletic, can do incredible things on the ground, but probably the thing that's given me the most confidence in him, I've done some reading, done some listening to some Miami-specific media who are just raving about Derek King's throwing ability. And you know, it's spring practice, of course, and they only got a handful of practices at all. So you'd never want to draw too much from spring, especially this spring. But some of the folks that I, you know, put some stock into their opinion were just absolutely raving about Derek King and his leadership ability and really his ability to throw the football. And so that, paired again with, you mentioned that, that they've been in a sort of a pro-style offense, a traditional pro-style offense in years past, but that's changing a little bit because they went and hired Rhett Lashley, who was last year the offensive coordinator at SMU, who put up, you know, some pretty incredible numbers, both throwing the football and they had a couple of running backs who did some really, really great things as well. But Rhett Lashley for a long, long time was Gus Malzahn's right-hand man at Auburn. And so he had a hand in some offenses, you know, Nick Marshall, who was able to do some really great things on the ground, but also throw the football as well, put up, you know, really put the offense in position to do damage basically from anywhere on the field. So all that combined has made me pretty confident that King's going to be able to bounce back and really have a solid season. And I think in turn, Miami's going to have an opportunity to really bounce back and put together, you know, potentially a 10-win season, according to our early projections. We think that they certainly have an opportunity to win their side of the division and maybe even challenge, potentially, you know, wouldn't say too much, but potentially challenge Clemson in the ACC championship game.
And that's something we just talked about on the CFB Winning Edge podcast. So if you guys are, you know, into college football all the way around, you should definitely be checking out that podcast as well. Like I said, that's myself, Nick, and our buddy Xavier. Now, the next guy I want to talk about is Spencer Rattler. You have him at 7. Everyone else has him 4 at the lowest. Heisey and Hall both have him 2nd behind Justin Fields. So are there concerns about Spencer Rattler himself, or is this more about how much you like the other guys that you had to push them up and Rattler came down because of that?
Honestly, I think it's a little bit that I'm just chicken. I'm probably too low on Spencer Rattler.
I don't think you're chicken. You have you and Heisey, and I think Hall had him low. It was Hall or Bainbridge had King. You were the only three with him on the top 12 list. Now there's only 5 guys, but 2 guys left him completely off the list. So I wouldn't call you chicken at all.
Well, but in so maybe I wasn't clear. I guess it's so for King, he's got a track record. I've seen it.
Okay.
You know, I put eyes on him. I've seen him play on Saturdays, seen him against some decent competition. Spencer Rattler, I've seen, you know, some high school tape a little bit. I haven't really dug into it as much as I should, to be, you know, quite honestly. But I'm a little bit just scared to rely on somebody that has played 3 career games and expect him to be immediately one of the best players in college football. He probably will be. I mean, you know, Oklahoma quarterbacks have been just absolutely incredible. Lincoln Riley, you know, you just can't even deny. They have been absolutely superstars every year. And it makes sense. You know, the system is built for somebody like Spencer Rattler, who was a 5-star recruit. So he's, you know, absolutely immensely talented. He's probably going to be a superstar as well. I just personally am hesitant to take somebody like that in such a big spot, because if it you know, if it falls flat, it's going to be potentially a disaster. I think Spencer Rattler absolutely has a huge ceiling, you know, incredible ability. But I think that Derek King or you know, some of the other players that I ranked ahead of him have a much higher floor. I think Spencer Rattler potentially has a lower floor because he will be a first-time starter. He will be, you know, still a teenager out there, really, you know, adjusting to the college game. I was low on Justin Fields last year. This feels like a somewhat similar situation. He absolutely could step in and become the guy and just become an absolute, you know, mega star from day one. I'm just a little bit hesitant to stick my neck out for somebody I haven't seen do it before. And so that's why I feel more comfortable in somebody like Costello. I feel comfortable in his 2018, feel comfortable in King's 2018, more so than Spencer Rattler, who was in high school in 2018 and just, you know, not sure about the competition. I just haven't really seen it as much. These other guys, maybe they have. Maybe they've dug into the tape and are confident in his ability, in addition to Lincoln Riley calling the play. So I absolutely understand it, and they're probably right. I'm just I'm a little scared to go that high for Spencer Rattler this year.
And I don't blame you, but I will say, and look, Kyler Murray, obviously great quarterback, but his 2018 was just, you know, I think it was just okay, you know, as far as CFF goes. It wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't remember him being at the absolute top of the class. You know, Mayfield before that was obviously pretty damn good himself, but there's plenty of concern there with the first year guy, so I'm okay with that. Now this one I really liked because this brings up my point overall on a certain subject here, and you were the only one to rank Adrian Martinez, who's a quarterback from Nebraska. And I have said in multiple sports that we have overcorrectors after a bad year. And is that what, do you think that's what we're seeing here, Nick? Is this an overcorrection from a particularly down season from Adrian Martinez? Or is this a, you know, look, he's just not as good as we thought he was going to be type of a ranking on Adrian Martinez? Because in 2018, Martinez ranked ninth. He averaged 26 points a game. Last year, obviously, not nearly as good. Hurt, and, the Huskers were just not very good at all. So what are we thinking on Adrian Martinez? And, you know, you're obviously confident, and you have him in your top 12.
I think injuries have had a lot to do with it. He was banged up, really, both, you know, his first 2 years at Nebraska. And you know, that is a concern, because after a little bit, you wonder, is somebody just prone to injury? And it's possible he's one of those guys. But I think Adrian Martinez has, similar to what we were talking about, you know, Spencer Rattler and De'Aaron King, I think the ceiling is sky high. We've seen him do, you know, put up huge games. I mean, last year against Illinois, he had a huge game. Colorado, he had a really good game from a passing standpoint. He scored two touchdowns on the ground in that game. You know, he's a guy that in a bad year ran for over 600 yards and seven touchdowns, and, you know, only 10 touchdowns passing, but I missed two games and you know was banged up. So I've seen Adrian Martinez put it together and have a huge game, have a, you know, 30, 40, 50 point type. You know, he has that ability. And I think, you know, I'm still a believer in Scott Frost. I've seen, you know, from his time at UCF and before that at Oregon, when he was offensive coordinator. I'm a believer in that system, and I'm a believer, haven't quite, you know, fallen off the Adrian Martinez hype train, if you will, yet. I do still think that, you know, if everything were to click, he's the type of player that could put up Heisman Trophy type numbers. I mean, he could put up numbers similar to what Jalen Hurts did last year if he's fully healthy, and, you know, if his defense gives him a little bit of help, because he's got some offensive playmakers to work with. I mean, I think Wandale Robinson is, you know, one of the top overall playmakers in all of college football, has that ability. So I think that the best of Adrian Martinez, he has the potential to be, you know, a Heisman type, at least Heisman statistics kind of guy. It's absolutely possible that he could get banged up, that he could, you know, just not have progressed over the first 2 years. But I like that he's experienced. I like that he's going into his junior year. He's got, you know, some real raw talent. He's got dual threat ability. And I do like Scott Frost's system. So I think if it all works and if he can stay healthy, he has the opportunity to have a huge year. He might miss, but I think the upside's there.
And these guys could all have him. I mean, these are very, very early ranks, number one. And number two, because these came out, what, 2 weeks ago, Nick? The ranks?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell time in the right. You know, the stage that we're at right now. Let's see. John posted this on, March 17th. So, like, you know, 10-ish days ago. So, I mean, these guys could have Adrian Martinez ranked at like 13 or 14, and it wouldn't be that surprising either. But I do think that when you put a guy in your top 12 and you're the only one that has him there, you're kind of making a statement, and I like the statement that you made here. But we're going to hit another break here. I've got one more quarterback question for you when we come back, and we're going to move to some RBs and some wide receivers. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's the last segment of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports and my buddy Nick Allen. Follow him at CFB Winning Edge. We are talking some CFF rankings here. And I don't know if we're going to make it through all these questions, Nick. You know, I have long questions and you have long answers. So if not, we will come back next week potentially and talk some more about this. But my last question on the quarterbacks here, as far as your initial rankings are, Keaton Slovis. You and our buddy John Lobb are the only ones that have Slovis on your list. I know you like USC this year, and the QB, whoever it should be successful, but JT Daniels is still there. He went into 2019 as a starter. Are you not worried about a quarterback competition because of how good Slovis looked last year?
So usually I do really shy away from somebody in a quarterback competition, and a little bit off topic, but somewhat on, you know, Arkansas State put up absolutely huge numbers last year. They've got two quarterbacks who did an incredible job coming back, and we don't really know which one is going to be the starter. So normally, you know, whoever that guy was, if it was just one guy, would be, you know, in the top five. But because there's a competition, I'm really scared, and I've got both of those guys down in the 20s or so. But for Slovis, everything that I've heard leads me to believe that he's the guy. And I know JT Daniels was a five-star. I know he's got a season as a starter under his belt. He was a higher-rated player coming out of high school than Slovis. But for whatever reason, everything that I've heard, everything that's been written, really just doesn't sound like this is going to be, you know, a head-to-head competition. It seems like, you know, certainly they will compete, but Slovis has a huge, huge head start, having played in Graham Harrell's system last year as a true freshman, and he was really, really impressive. He did a lot of really good things just from, you know, an eye test standpoint, and he put up great numbers as well. I think that he was overall more impressive as a true freshman than JT Daniels was the previous year. So I think that he's going to be able to hold off Daniels. Nothing against Daniels, but I think Slovis really is talented enough to win that job. And then if he does hold it down, he's got, according to our numbers, the second best receiving core in the country. I mean, I was going through our receiver ratings earlier today, rankings, and I wanted to put four different guys in like the top 75. So USC is just absolutely loaded. The system should work really, really well. It's going to be a second year in the air raid under Graham Harrell. And just, I really liked what I saw from Keenan Slovis last year. So I think he's got a great job, a great likelihood of keeping the job. And assuming he does, everything just around him is set up for a huge year.
And I like him too. I was just, when you and John, because I was like, oh man, you know, JT Daniels could definitely push him, but I know you're a Slovis truther, and so is Lob, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out when we get to draft season here. Moving over to some running backs, and I love this. I love that you were the lone person on Travis Etienne as the number one overall running back. Everyone else had Chuba, so you got to explain it, Nick. What and you have? I think you have Chuba at two anyway, right?
I do, and yeah. it's pretty much 1A and 1B. I personally, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. I prefer ETN just by the slightest of margins. But one of the reasons I've heard that there's a willingness to increase his workload in 2020. That's part of the discussion that he had with Dabo Swinney when it was time to come back. Apparently, he said, you know, hey, I'd like the ball a little bit more. And so, you know, despite he has had a pretty, you know, light workload in the past. Clemson's always blowing people out. But when he gets the ball, he has the ability to score on any play, much like Chuba Hubbard. You know, just personal preference. I like Etienne just a little bit more. I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. And I'm certainly not going to argue with anybody that thinks Hubbard is you know, deserving of that top spot. But, you know, if it's between the two, I would choose Etienne.
Personal. It's splitting hairs and they're really both studs. So, you know, I don't have an argument for one over the other. I think I would probably go with Etienne as well. You know, it's hard to argue against Chuba. I'm for sure on that bandwagon as well. You and Lob are tied for the highest ranking on Najee Harris at 4, the running back from Alabama. There's no doubt that he's going to be awesome. He comes back among the returning players. He was 6 in fantasy points per game in a PPR league last season. But Trey Sanders is supposed to come back this year. He was a 5-star recruit. We know that Bama has split up some running back shares in the past. Josh Jacobs probably going to be a better NFL fantasy player than he was a college fantasy player. Because he's going to get a full workload with the Raiders more than he did at Alabama. So are you worried about a timeshare with between Harris and Sanders at all?
Timeshare is always a little bit of a concern, and they do have a really highly rated true freshman, Chase McKellen, coming in. They've also got Brian Robinson Jr. back. So there's a lot of talent, as always, in the running back room at Alabama. So it is a concern. Because, you know, you do have a guy that's pretty much proven everything that he needed to do to get ready for the NFL, much like Travis Etienne, but decided, you know, hey, I'm going to come back because I want to. So this is a little bit more of a hunch play, a sort of a gut feeling. And I don't try to rely on those too much, but I do give myself a little bit of wiggle room when it comes to CFF. For whatever reason, I'm hopeful that Najee Harris might have a workload somewhat similar to what we saw with Derrick Henry his last year in Alabama. And you know, that's really just a guess. It's really just a hope. But just the things that we saw once Alabama did decide, okay, we are going to ride Najee Harris down the stretch. One, they got him the ball a lot in the passing game, which I like. Two, they've got a transition at quarterback. Mac Jones got a little bit of starting time last year when Tua Tagovailoa was out, but there's going to be a competition there with true freshman Bryce Young. You know, if Young is able to take some snaps away, I think there's a likelihood that they rely on the running game a little bit more. So I think Harris is going to get, you know, plenty of work, and I think he's got the ability, both as a runner and a receiver, to do some really big things. And you know, if he can fend off, you know, some very, very talented teammates who are going to be looking for carries as well. I think he's got an opportunity to put up absolutely huge numbers. If he could get, you know, 80% of the workload Derrick Henry got, he's got an opportunity to put up, you know, 1,500 plus yards, maybe 20 touchdowns, something like that. So I think his upside is really, really big.
Yeah, and I like the point about, you know, Tua's gone and Mac Jones. is the new quarterback. And while he's good, he's not Tua. And I think we can all agree to that. And before Tua came in, it was really a run-first Bama team, and we're probably going to see them go back to that. Now, this one I'm really interested in. You're the only one to have Mo Ibrahim in your top 12 running backs. He's the running back from Minnesota. He averaged about 10 points per game last year, which isn't high. But Rodney Smith, who averaged over 13, and Brooks, who averaged just under 6, are gone. Tyler Johnson, who was really the catalyst of the offense, is gone. I think he averaged like 23 points per game last season. I like him being ranked high on your list because I expect the Gophers to get back to a ground-and-pound offense. Is that where your head's at as far as the Gophers go?
So I'm not sure they're going to go back to ground and pound because they do still have Tanner Morgan. They've got Rashad Bateman, Chris Amon-Bell. The passing game is going to be good, but the timeshare for carries should not be as widely distributed as it was last year. He had a couple of seniors, back, Shannon Brooks, Rodney Smith, who got an extra year of eligibility because of previous injuries. They were healthy and took some carries from Ibrahim. And Ibrahim was also banged up a little bit as well. But in 2018, when he was the guy, he ran for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. Last year, pretty limited opportunities, still scored 7 times, 600 yards. I think he's somebody that's got lost in the shuffle a little bit. I think that, depth was just more of a luxury that Minnesota had in 2019 that they're probably not going to have, at least early on in 2020. So I think Ibrahim has a chance to put up at least the numbers he put in 2018. And I think there might even be a little room for growth there. I think he's got an opportunity to have a really good year and get a pretty heavy workload.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about Mo Ibrahim for sure. And maybe they don't go back to ground and pound, but being the solo back on a good offense is a pretty good spot to be in. Now, these two, I need you to sell me on. I mean, really, I just need you to sell me on one. But you're the only one with Knox from Marshall and Valade from Wyoming in your top 12. Can you give me a used car salesman pitch on these guys?
Sure. So Brendan Knox, for whatever reason, just sort of quietly had an excellent season. I mean, he was Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year. In 23 career games, he's rushed for over 100 yards 10 times. He put up double-digit touchdowns last year, almost 1,400 yards on the ground. He's a workhorse, and Marshall, for whatever reason, it's an offense that's going to give him the ball a lot. And I don't see that changing in 2020. I think he's going to get just a huge workload again. And, they play pretty decent defense and kind of keep teams in check. They don't move at a super high pace. They're content to, they do throw it a little bit with Isaiah Green and a couple of decent receivers, but, they're going to let Knox sort of carry them. And it's very similar with Valade at Wyoming. Wyoming plays really, really good defense. They play slow on offense and they feed the running back. I think this year, because they've had some injuries at the quarterback position as well, and Sean Chambers is coming off a torn knee, there has been some talk that Levi Williams, redshirt freshman who started the bowl game for them, might share time at quarterback. And so I think, again, similar to what we talked about at Alabama, if you're mixing a couple guys in, if there's some injuries, there's some youth, you're likely to sort of ride one guy. And I think Wyoming has a little bit more depth with Trey Smith and Titus Swinn. So, Valade might not get a huge workload, but I think that the offense he's in and just sort of the style of play that they use, he has an opportunity to put up another really, really good year. I think, again, 1,500 yards, hopefully if Chambers is going to not get a lot of carries in the red zone because of his health, hopefully Valade's touchdown numbers go up as well. I think double-digit touchdowns is certainly possible. So I think, he's certainly worthy of a top 15 spot. 12, maybe a little high compared to others, as you mentioned, but I think both of those guys, based on the competition they play and the style of play, have an opportunity to put up some really, really good years, and they've got some good pass production as well.
And now, one adjustment that you might be able to make, because the news about this came out after this was put up, and like I said, it was just put up 10 days ago, so even in when, you know, the world is kind of standing still, we still have a decent amount of news to talk about and things like that. But Trey Sermon is transferring out of Oklahoma and he's going to Ohio State. And the reason this is big news is because Master Teague has, you know, they're calling it an Achilles injury. I think most Achilles injuries are torn Achilles, which means he would probably be done for the season. And I believe our guy Justin Heisey was the only one to rank Master Teague in his top 12, and he had him all the way up at 5. With Trey Sermon transferring in there, would he push, you know, the bottom of your list here, 12 to 9 is Valade, Borghi, Knox, and Mo Ibrahim. Would he push any of those guys going to Ohio State?
So in our most up-to-date rankings, which I sent out today to our patrons, I've got Trey Sermon at number 22. And I'm a Trey Sermon fan. I was really, really impressed watching him play in 2018. I thought he was better, more talented of a runner than Kennedy Brooks. But for whatever reason, last year, Brooks was far and away the number one running back. Jalen Hurts took a little bit of, I think, Sermon's workload away, a lot of his carries, because he ran an awful lot for a quarterback last year. So I think Sermon maybe got, you know, lost in the mix a little bit at Oklahoma. And then I've heard some whispers, nothing confirmed, but, I think he might have just fallen out of favor for whatever reason with Lincoln Riley. I mean, he seems like a really good guy, everything I've heard. So I'm not sure that there's any character issues there or anything. But for whatever reason, he just sort of fell out of the rotation. I think Ohio State was an absolutely perfect landing spot. You know, Achilles absolutely are tricky. Even if it's not torn, it's something that's just going to be nagging, I'm sure. It's going to take Teague a while to get back up to full speed. So I think there's going to be an opportunity for Sermon to establish himself as the primary ball carrier. And if he does get a full workload, something he didn't get at Oklahoma when he was always splitting carries, I think he does have, you know, first team all Big Ten type ability. I mean, you know, 1,600 yards, double digit touchdowns easy. He's a good receiver, can do things out of the backfield. So I think it's a perfect spot. Ohio State could be the best offense in all of college football next year. So if he's a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunity to be a part of that, I think he certainly does have, you know, huge, huge potential. Right now he's number 22. I wouldn't be surprised. I certainly could see moving him in to the top 15. I'm a little bit worried because he just last year, for whatever reason, was a little out of sync. So I would like to see a little bit more, you know, would have liked to have seen a little bit more in our most recent exposure to him. And he's also coming off a torn knee ligament. It's not an ACL. It's a little less serious, but does have a little bit of health issues, did have a little bit of production issues last year. But I think that he has huge upside and could be a top 15 type running back.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for In This League on the Sports Grid this week. Remember, you can follow us at Bogman Sports for me on Twitter, at CFB Winning Edge for Nick, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh, and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We're trying to pump out all kinds of content for you guys recently. The Welsh and I just did a run of Oregon Trail, which was a lot of fun. And check out Nick's Patreon as well, patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge for all kinds of college fantasy football information and college football information. But we will see you guys tomorrow. The Welsh and I are back with Casey Bubba for a 3-hour show. We'll be back again on Monday. So we're trying to pump out all the content we possibly can. So take it easy, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.